Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3cla.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
You may be seated. We just want to welcome all of those who are joining us on iChurch and in Spanish and in English. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, today is a good day. Because I'm alive. Hallelujah. Today is a good day. Hallelujah. Because I'm alive today. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to put up our miskan, our tabernacle. And I just want to say a word or two before we get started. This is the miskan. This is the tabernacle that God gave the blueprints to Moshe. And he said to Moshe, be careful that you make it exactly according to the pattern. Because this was the gospel being preached way back there in that day. We don't know exactly what the year was, but we know it was B.C. And this was the center of the Hebrew worship. Now, this Mishkan later on was moved. The Ark of the Covenant was moved. The tent was folded up. And a more permanent location was made. Some say in Yerushalayim. Some say above the city of David. I opt for the latter. Now, just keep it there while we talk a bit, because this was the center of the Hebrew life. So when we are, as believers, non-Hebrew, and we are reading the Bible, we don't make many times the connection. We don't connect what is being said to something else that has been said, or to something like the Mishkan. And so we get the idea that these men would get this inspiration and they would say something that had nothing to do with anything else. But the Bible is a unity. God is a unity. The Bible is a unity. And whatever these prophets said, they were relating it back to the center of their lives, which is the tabernacle in the wilderness. Do we have the picture of the tabernacle and all the tribes around about? If we have that, bring that up. This is what it looked like. And if you'll notice that the tribes surround the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the center of their lives. Everybody looked to the tabernacle. It spoke to us who are saved that God should be the center of our lives. And many times we don't allow that to happen. We got so many other things that's on our mind. So today, before I get, let's go to the menorah We call it the golden lampstand. This was in the tabernacle. As you walked in, it was to the left. The table of showbread was to the right. Straight ahead before the curtains of the most holy place was the altar, golden altar of incense. And so when we begin to read about what's going on, we should be able to relate it to something. So when you hear one of their prophets talk, you ought to be able to relate it back to either the Mishkan that was in the wilderness or the temple that was built by Shlomo later on after the children of Israel crossed over Jordan into the land which God had promised them. And so today I just simply want to help you get the pleasure that I get when I read the Bible. I get a pleasure because when I read something, I can relate it to something else that has been written. And so when you see the David, some of the other writers of the Psalms, you think they're just having a time all by themselves. But they are referring back to something. They are talking about the center of their worship. And so today I'm going to just do that before I really get into the lampstand, the particulars of the lampstand. Some things are hard to understand. Everything is not totally understandable right away. And a lot of time you can't understand some things that are written because you are not mature enough to understand it. You get that? See, as you grow, you learn more and you're able to understand more. If you do not grow, you will stay at the stage that you are and you will never understand some of the things that is written by the prophets and by the apostles because you are not able to consume it and digest it. But as you study the word, as you become students of the word becomes alive to you and you're able to receive more and grow stronger in God because that's what it's all about. That we do not remain always children. So let's start it out by starting a second kepha. You call him Peter, but you're simply calling him out of his name. But if you insist on doing that, I'm not going to fight you. And we will go to the 13th verse. Nevertheless, somebody say regardless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So the whole idea, all of us should be looking for that promise of God, the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I don't know about you, but I'm really kind of tired of the evil that we see in the world today. We see killings on every hand. We see wars on every hand. We see mayhem and blood and gore. And it's time that God make a change. And so we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Where a child can play at the hole of a snake. And a lamb can lay down with the lions. and there is no violence in his holy hill. That is supposed to be our hope. And so Kepha said, nevertheless, regardless of what's going on, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, because that's the promise that God has given us. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. The word for diligent is spoudazo, mean hasten, exert yourself, put forth an effort. Just because you're saved, you don't stop putting forth an effort. God is not going to say, well, I happen to find some growth over here, you just take it. You need to be diligent about your faith. And you need to grow in grace and in knowledge. And if you don't, you're not going to make it in. Let's read it again. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, let me ask you a question. Are you looking for that? Are you looking for a new heaven and a new earth? Since you're looking for it, you ought to be what? Diligent. Spoudazo. You should be exerting yourself. You know, you see people come to Bible class at, Bible class starts at 7. They get there at 7:45. That's a person who is non-spoudazo. But anything that is worthwhile is worth putting forth an effort to get it. Would you agree? If you're not willing to put forth an effort, then you are not wanting that you say you want. Nobody's going to give you anything, even God, when you don't act like you want it. Sometimes we're looking for somebody to give us something. But whatever you get, you're going to have to put forth an effort. Even if you win the lottery, you got to buy a lot of tickets. Am I right or wrong? No lottery going to come down and say, oh, we just decided to give you the lottery because you look good. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blame. So you say, how can I be blameless? It's tough for human beings to be blameless. But you're blameless because when you find out you've done wrong, you ask him for forgiveness. And he forgives you of your sins, and that makes you what? Blameless. Yeah, we're going to make mistakes. We're human beings. But when we make mistakes, and you are a true believer, you ought to repent of that mistake and ask him for forgiveness, then you are blameless. An account that we, that the long sufferings of Yahweh is salvation, even as our beloved brother Shaul also according to the wisdom given unto him has written unto you. Yeah, I've been waiting 50 years for him to come. But God is long-suffering. There's some other folks need to be saved. Huh? So he haven't come because he's trying to wait on all of those who would be saved. That means that we have to not get impatient in our walk with him. Because it says the long suffering of Yahweh, of our Yahushua, is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Shaul. This is Kepha talking about Shaul. Also according to the wisdom given unto him as written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also of the scriptures unto their own destruction. When you are unlearned, and if you are unlearned, it also means you are unstable. A stable person would get into the word. An unstable person is unlearned, but they're standing out there talking at the big gate like they got the thing under control. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But they unlearn. And so somebody can come along and show them a scripture that can be twisted, and they twist that scripture to their own destruction. This is why today I'm trying to help you begin to put together the scriptures. Because once you can put them together, nobody can fool you. Because precept must be upon precept. Line, here a little. If there's one place here, I should be able to find it over there. But if you don't study, you won't find it. And somebody will come along and give you a scripture that they have twisted. And they take you along with them. See, here we don't have any, we don't put on any shows. We don't pretend to tickle your emotions. Because emotion is all about the brain and about the natural. We want to give you the unadulterated word, which is able to save your soul. I don't want to deal with your soul up front. You know what I say? I don't want to deal with your soul up front. I don't want to tickle your soul up front. See, I've come out of church and that's all they did was tickle your soul. Every preacher come up, he's tickling your soul. And you just hollering, oh, praise the Lord. I've talked to him and said, oh, the preacher preached to us today. I said, what did he say? Well, he said some good stuff. Because their souls were tickled. Huh? But their spirit was not touched. And when you're operating in your soul, you're operating in the natural. So I don't want to tickle your soul. I want to feed your spirit. And your spirit will deal with your soul. See, I can't deal with your soul. But I can give you the word that will feed your spirit. Then your spirit becomes strong enough to talk to your soul. And bring your soul under subjection. This is not a soul thing. This is a spirit thing. But we have made it a soul thing. Yeah, everybody's entertained. Oh, I've seen them get up. And then, you know, they try to put words in a certain way. And, you know, the constitution of the word went on the right constitution of the left auxiliary, and it brought about peace. And we said, oh, he's so brilliant. He said, you put yourself in a position that because you're unlearned and unstable, you'll wrest the scripture, twist the scripture. The word for that is a good word. It's called sreblu. Sreblu in the Greek. Sreblu. Don't that sound kind of twisted or messed up? Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know not these things, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. See, there are people out there, wicked folks, who want to turn you. Huh? You got to stay away from wicked people. Wicked people will mess you up. And if you are unlearned and unstable, they're going to mess with you. So this is why I want today to share with you and show you the unity of Scripture. Now, some of you are going to be glad today that I showed you this. Others are going to say, I don't even know what he's talking about. That's because you're unlearned. But I'm going to put it to you in a very simple way. So first of all, let's start at Tehillim 48. You call that what? Psalms. We call it Tehillim. One. Great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised. Let's say it again. Don't that sound good? Great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised. It didn't say great is the preacher. It said great is who? Yahweh, and greatly to be praised. I'm not asking you to look at me. I could have been one of the fancy preachers. I came along at the time. But I'm not pointing to me. I'm pointing to Yeshua. I'm pointing to Yahweh. But great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. That sounds good, doesn't it? What is he talking about? In the city of our God. He's not just talking off the top of his head. He has a reference point that he's dealing with. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful. For situation. Does that sound good? I remember when I first read that, man, that was just so stirring. Beautiful for situation. There's no such thing. What he's saying, he's talking about the city of God. He's talking about the mountain of his holiness. And when he say har, which means mountain, but it also means hill. Beautiful in situation, the word is not meaning elevation. The house of God, the temple of God, is beautiful because it is elevated. He's talking about something he know about. Beautiful elevation. The joy of the whole world. You know why? What comes out of that temple is the joy of the whole world. What comes out of there, the knowledge that comes out of there will bring joy to the world. People will sing it every, you'll hear it this and here on about the 25th. Joy to the world. Right? Everybody sings about it. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the side of the north in the city of the great king. What is he talking about? He's talking about the tabernacle. Now they have moved from the wandering tabernacle to build a great temple. Some say in Jerusalem, on the Temple Mount. How many of you have been to Jerusalem? Okay, so Sister Deborah, remember? Yeah, you went there with me, didn't you? And they say it's there where the Dome of the Rock is. You know, the Dome of the Rock is this big dome they've painted gold. And they say the Muslims built on the spot where the temple once stood so they could take over that area that the true temple cannot be rebuilt again. So you go across the Kidron Valley, down to the Kidron Valley, and you go up to the Temple Mount. That's what he's talking about. Not necessarily that mount, because I don't believe that's where the temple was built, but it's where everybody thinks the temple was built. Beautiful for elevation. The joy of the whole world is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king. Well, Mount Zion is not Jerusalem. Mount Zion is the city of David. David brought the Ark of the Covenant to the city of David. And he gathered all of the material to build a permanent house of Yahweh. But God told him, I can't let you build my house. You got too much blood on your hand. Though David was a man who loved God, David came along at the time when you had to fight. And he was a warrior of warriors. They said he could fight till the sword would be glued to his hand. And the people would sing, Shaul has killed his 1,000, but David has killed his 10,000. He was a stone killer in war, but he loved God. But he had to fight. And so God said to him, I can't let you build my house. That's too much blood on your hand. But I'll let your son build my house. Hallelujah. I can relate to that. My son is building this house. Hallelujah. And it's not because I have so much blood on my hand, but I was a rough and tough tumbling man. You had to line up or leap out. I'm not going to let you walk out. When you're doing hard stuff, you got to be hard. But now that it was built, God will let my son carry it from here. You see what I'm trying to say? And hey, I don't mind that. I'm good with that. Because all I want is the kingdom of God to be built. And though my son has been ill, God spoke to me right in this chair. And he said to me, when I was sitting right there and my son was up talking, God said to me, he will be preaching long after you gone. Hallelujah. Long after David was gone, Shlomo, you call him Solomon, was building the temple. And so he bought that Ark of the Covenant, which we have not yet talked about in the Mishkan. He bought it to the city of David because they had came to a permanent location where they would settle down. And Shlomo built the temple above the city of David and not on the Temple Mount. Jerusalem is not Mount Zion. And it said the city of the what? Of the great king. Who is the great king of all? Of all kings, who was the great king of Israel? David. God is known in her palaces for refuge. See, he knew what God could do. Now, let's go over to 43. Now we're getting the idea. They are not talking about something that they don't know anything about. Now, when the prophets prophesize to the future, many times they are talking about something they know nothing about. Like Yehezkel, you call him Ezekiel. He saw a wheel in the middle of a wheel. That's how he described it. He couldn't describe it any other way. He had never seen anything like this. He said, but it had wings. And it did fly. Revelation describes a scorpion with a tail that's shooting fire. He did not, had never seen anything like that. But we know that he was probably talking about a tank. You know, the long barrel of that tank gun, it could rotate, fire in any direction. He didn't even know what electric light was like. He lived in a time where there was no way for him to explain what he saw. And so he had to use his imagination. And probably what Yehezkel saw was a helicopter. But he'd never seen anything like that. So it's left up to us. Yeshua said, it is given unto you to know the mysteries. But you'll never know the mysteries if you don't exert yourself. If you don't put forth an effort to learn. Now watch this. Third verse of Tehillim 43. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy, to thy holy hill. To thy tabernacle. Let's go back. Let's go to the tabernacle, inside of the tabernacle. And where we can see the menorah. See the menorah on the left side. Table of shewbread on the right side. He's talking about this. The menorah is representative of the Holy Spirit, the only light in the holy place. The Holy Spirit is the only light in the church. Now notice that the Holy Spirit gave light to that room. It focused on the table of shewbread, but it also revealed the golden altar of incense. Now watch this. Send out thy light and thy truth. The Holy Spirit is the light, but he is also the what? Truth. The word is the what? The truth. The word is the truth. And he said, let them lead me. You can relate to that. Amen. The Bible said the Holy Spirit do what? Lead you into all what? All truth. So this man is not talking about something he don't know. He's relating back to what he do know. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, to the temple, where the temple is built. It's built up on a hill above the city of David. So when the deal goes down and the temple be rebuilt, we've always talked about this great conflict we'd have, trying to tear down the mosque there, the dome, and the Muslim would all come rise up. But you know, other people know who has studied. When I was in Israel, I believe it was, I don't know whether it was the first time or the last time, but the guide said to me when we went up to what is called the Temple Mount, to the Dome of the Rock, he said to me, this is not the place where the temple is to be rebuilt. He said, look over there, 600 yards away, about a quarter of a mile away, is where the temple will be rebuilt. Say, we ain't telling nobody, because we don't want people to get involved with us right now. But the temple will be rebuilt. And he says, and they will lead me to thy holy hill. Other words, to that elevation, that temple that's elevated. And then he actually said, to thy what? To thy tabernacle. Then will I go unto thy altar. Then will I go to the altar of Yahweh, unto Yahweh, my exceeding joy. So he's not talking about the altar, the brazen altar. He's talking about the golden altar of incense, which represent prayer and rejoicing. The priest would pour incense over the coals that were taken off of the brazen altar where the sacrifice was burned. He'd take a coal, some coal from there, and he'd bring it into the holy place, and he'd put the coal up on the altar of incense. Then he'd sprinkle incense over it, and this beautiful smell and smoke rose up from the altar of incense, giving glory and praise to God. Yea, upon heart will I praise thee, O God, O Yahweh, my Yahweh. And then he talked about something that we all experience. Even though we know Yeshua, and even though we believe he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, even though we know he's a healer, sometimes our souls start messing with us. Now, if you say I'm wrong, then I know something wrong with you. You know he's a healer. You know he's baptized you in the Holy Ghost. He's blessed you. But still sometimes your soul start talking negative to you. And so he's letting you know he know that. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Look, I just finished talking about the light leading me to truth. I'm going to the altar. I'm going to praise God. He says, why art thou cast down, my soul? The soul starts messing with him. Have you all had that experience? Or your soul start messing with you, telling you some negative things and trying to make you depressed, even though you know God's able to do exceedingly abundantly all above all he can ask or you can ask to think. So he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in Yahweh, hope in God. You remember when I said, I'm not dealing with your soul. See, I'm dealing with your spirit. Because your soul can make a left turn at any time. My hope, your hope in God. For I shall yet praise him. Who is the health of my covenant and my God. Let me read that to you in the Hebrew. Translation from the Hebrew. Why art thou cast down, my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? My hope is in Yahweh. For again I will praise our deliverer. My breath. That's what he said. Because I will praise my deliverer. Now, you don't find that in the English text. Then English text says, for again, I shall praise him who with the help. That's not how the Hebrew read. I will praise our deliverer, my breath. Other words said, he's my life. Huh? The life I now live, I live it in God. God is my life. He's your life. And my God. So when your soul starts messing with you, don't think you're different from anybody else. That's why the apostle said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yahweh, and bring into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Mashiach. People, we got a job. We got to work. You got to work, man. If you think you're going to sit back and sang la da da like the old grasshopper, you know what I mean? He said, Bobby said, you know, behold the ant. He's working all day. And the grasshopper's lollygagging all day. But when winter came, the grasshopper landed with his feet up in the air. He dead. The ants are down in his burrow eating on the stuff he has worked on for all this time. What I want you to do is just think the unity of the scripture, how it comes together for us. Now, look at Tehillim 89. Oh my God. It can't possibly be 126. Well, you know, I can't even go into this. There's no sense to me even starting. Because Pastor Tom got a meeting at 2:30. And y'all got to eat. So I'm going to just sort of back off. I'm going to just sort of step back. because I can pick this up next week. But when you are able to bring scripture together and see how it validates scripture and understand that the psalmist and the prophets are talking about something they know something about, and you can look back at that thing, it makes the word richer. It makes your life richer. It makes your confidence more solid. And you know you can trust in God. And nobody can fool you. Nobody can twist a scripture and bring it to you and cause you to wander off into another area. My brothers and sisters, God is not a God who sprays a lot of stuff out there and it has no relevancy to any of the other stuff. Whatever's in scripture is revealing something that's already been written. And the Mishkan, there is all of what the word of God talked about in regards to salvation. So everything goes back here when you hear the prophets talk. So that's why I'm teaching you of the Mishkan. That even when you read the New Testament, you will know what where it first began and see how it worked there. About it. Father Yahweh, we come to you in the blessed name of Yeshua HaMashiach, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is our guide, who leads us in the way. We thank you for salvation that placed us in another dimension, that drew us out of the world, placed us in another place, that we might be the sons and daughters of Yahweh without rebuke. We thank you for that. And we give you glory. We ask that the word work richly in the hearts of these people, these your people, in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Keep your head bowed. There may be somebody here today.